Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome aboard tonight, the Shepherd's Call. And we are going to send this program especially out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We are in the 11th of the series, of the 12-part series, of the Consolation. And we're in the Consolation of the Crab, or better known to modern astrology, as a Cancer. So we're going to review this constellation tonight and see what kind of a picture that it can paint to give us a realization of truth that's above our head. Every time that you read in the scriptures that the heavens declare the work of his hand, well then, ladies and gentlemen, you could go into the constellations and see the beauty of the brush that our Father has took star systems, if you will, these huge balls of light that are transmitting energies, by the way, around the solar system. It's amazing. I fear and I'm in awe at the awesomeness of the Creator who had the power from the very beginning that this thing is on a time track. Somebody has sat down somewhere in the past and figured out what today's going to be. And everything that was included will happen as it is predestined to happen. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, you know better than that. We have a range of free will. That's true. I do believe that there is a certain combination of circumstances that determine the man that is on the planet that has the ability to think. Animals seem like they work within the framework of the genetical applications that they were designed to do. Man is the only rebellious creature in this vast kingdom that was established here as likely a training ground. We're going to the book of Romans tonight, and we're going into the particular verse that we display here. We're in the 11th sign, and 11, as you very well know, is one of the master numbers in the numerical numbering system. So we'll use this as a stepping stone into the book of Romans as we are talking about predestination, meaning that everything has been declared from the very beginning. And tomorrow night we will conclude, Yahweh willing, the message on the constellations. We will have numbered 13 in this series, beginning with the introduction tape of the broad brushing of the whole 12 of the constellations that we covered. We covered the first one to sort of set the pace for you as we go through these 12 steps in the glory, as we might call it, praise Yahweh. Now, notice this in verse 29, Romans 8, a very familiar scripture for those of you who study the word of Yahweh, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate. Now, there is a scripture in the book of Jeremiah. Matter of fact, it is in Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going there to show you that the predestination, those he did foreknow, he did predestinate, and we are now at the 10th verse of the book of Jeremiah. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is very awesome to know that Yahweh has in his power to pull down these kingdoms and to plant and to establish. So everything within the framework of what is happening today, we get so carried away because we have a certain fearful looking for the judgment of the coming Creator to judge or access the present where he requires the past. Now, isn't that strange that Yahweh requires the past of our life, the man that has gone, what you might say, astray, and now has become responsible for his decisions. And so that's why that it's very important to be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it is important for you to put order in your life and be swift to hear and slow to speak. A man wants to live many days here. The Bible said, let him refrain his mouth from speaking evil. Huh, my heavens. Why? Because by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned, and you shall give an account for every idle word that you speak. And so everything comes around. Whatever you sow comes into your life as a reality. It is a proven fact. Now, let's say that you are given to pursue riches. Well, riches will probably come your way, if that is in the plan of Yahweh for you to pursue this. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it is indicated that after he pulls down and sets up kingdoms and does all these things, it is amazing how he has set man, these men that have ability to pick and choose their walk of life, their careers, or things of this nature. And it's very strange also that we are made in so many peculiar, different ways. No individual here has a counterpart of fingerprints. And that's amazing within itself, that the skin, as it grows, and you can be identified by fingerprints, that it has a genetic twirl about it, all unique to its own being. Now, that astounds me. And then the scriptures gives me another scripture to scratch my head about and yank my hair out at times, which says that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Is it predestined into your genetic character makeup that you were to produce a certain amount of hairs on your head? Isn't that strange? Listen as I read the fifth verse of Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this gets back into predestination, and we're going to talk tonight about the consolation of Cancer. And the reason that I'm bringing this predestination factor in, that Cancer is one of the most obscured of all of the systems in the consolation. Actually, it is the faintest consolation in the sky. And certainly, it is the most insignificant group of stars placed in the zodiac, having no stars more than of the third magnitude for brightness. It is practically impossible to view unless the atmospheric conditions are very good. Now, this is in itself the constellation, meaning in the Dendera, and we could go into the modern aspect and show you how that they got Cancer. I will skip that for now because we want to deal with the realities, not the generalities of these things. The Dendera zodiac, one of the oldest, going back to and before the Egyptian dynasty, where that these learned men. Remember, Moses was trained in all of the mystery schools of Egypt. They had some very wise men. You say, oh, Julio and Dewey, they didn't have any. These just were cavemen. Well, let me show you something here. The Bible says that Moses was instructed to take a rod, which symbolized the power of Yahweh, and go up against the Egyptian priesthood. He did so. And about everything of magic that Moses was to do in the 10 signs that were placed before the clergy of Egypt, these wise men, if you will be, they duplicated at least 7 of these feats that Moses did, and each one of these feats that Moses performed was miraculous. And yet these wise men have the ability, these magicians, if you will, they have the power, it seems, and the knowledge to duplicate these feats, and so then Yahweh would have to up the ante, so to speak, to get ahead of them. Remember when that Moses cast his rod to the ground, it became a wiggling, riffling serpent. Well, the wise men that were standing in the presence of Pharaoh as they were being challenged by Moses, that they might fear Yahweh and let the children of Israel go. You see, the devil, it takes a lot to make a believer out of him. He's been around a long time, and he's seen about every trick in the book. And so he don't run as easy as you might think. You just can't say boo or shundai or whatever and scare the devil off, because he is a very, very crafty being. But notice the consequences. As they threw their rods down, they became serpents also. The only difference between the two sets of magic that was worked, one by Moses and Yahweh against the wisdom of the trained ones of Egypt, Moses' serpent swallowed the rest of the other snakes that were made snakes through the casting down of the staff. But if you will go back and look at the wonders of this situation, if you would have been standing there seeing all this magic performed, if you would use the word magic, then these predestinated events were on a time track and to be exercised and brought into fruition at the appointed time. Remember, when the Messiah was on earth, he specifically said repeatedly, I must be at such and such a place at such a time. And it was written, he knew the time track, that all these things, like the blind man in the 11th chapter of the book of John, where he was healed, and the Bible said that he was healed, that the power of Yahweh could be made manifest or be made known, that men may fear the power of the Creator. And of course, we know the reason. They cast the man that could see, they cast him out of the fellowship of the temple worship in Jerusalem. And his parents, fearing that they themselves would likewise be thrust out after confessing the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body, they determined that they, when they were asked the question, who did this miracle? They said, well, ask our son. He's of age. And so they refused to answer. They knew who had done it. But they didn't. They feared the Jews. At least they'd be cast out. You see, at this time, at the Sanhedrin court, which exercised the authority of the priesthood, the chief priest being the one that resided in the seat of the council of the high priest, they run the temple that took 46 years into building. And that's basically what's going on here today in the Christian world and all the other religions that are falsely so-called religion, because you see, religion is vain. The Bible says so. Truth is, it's priceless. If you can find truth, then you must buy it, lock into it, and hold on for dear life. Praise Yahweh. Now, the Dendariah, we're talking about the one in Alexander, Egypt, where they have a perfect Maseroth or zodiac on the mosaic on the floor in the temple there. And this beautiful zodiac agrees with the meaning of the star names of our modern astronomers and astrologers. Although it is portrayed there as a sacred beetle, Cancer was called Kalara, meaning the folds or the resting place. Now, I want you to form your mind in this very, very, very obscure constellation of a coming fold or sheepfolds, a place to catch and hold sheep, or in the meaning of Kalara, meaning the resting place. And ladies and gentlemen, it is true that the sheep, the foal, has a resting place in the future event in the coming kingdom. And this is in perfect harmony with all of the names, as well as the minor constellations and their star names. As in other Egyptian zodiacs, it is represented by the head of an eagle, which is probably Cancer's original picture. This is borne out by the Arabic name of the sign, which is Al-Satran, which means who holds or binds. Keep in mind, again, sheepfolds, praise Yahweh. The Syrian name, Sartano, means the same. The Greeks called it Karkinkos, which means holding or encircling, as does the Latin version, or modern version, I guess you would call it. We still retain the Latin cancer, which means that which holds, and it's applied to the crab. Now, there's nothing that can hold like a crab. A crawdad here in Tennessee waters, in the bayous of Mississippi, called the crayfish, I guess. And they've got pinchers, and as my old dad said, you know, they'll bite and pinch, and they won't let go till it thunders. Well, these are the sign pictures of this very obscure constellation known as the crab picture in the sky. And there it is as holding pins and a place for the sheepfold. Now, the psalmist David wrote in Psalms 91:9, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty." There it is, as a holding pen, a shepherd in place for the flock in a distant consolation. And here in the scriptures of Psalms 91 again, he said, "You have seen what I did to these Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself," as it is recorded in Exodus 19:4. In the center of the nearly overshadowing of this constellation is one of the brightest nebulous clusters in the starry sky, and sufficiently luminous to be seen with the naked eye. It is made up of a multitude of little stars and is called by modern astronomy the beehive. The ancients called it Pelesup, which is in its Arabic and Hebrew elements, meaning the multitude or the offspring, the innumerable seed. Again, a hold in place. And the same meaning is repeated in another star, Melep, Arabic, which means assembled thousands. To Israel are added a great multitude which no man can number, gathered with them before the throne and before the Lamb in Revelation 7:9. Again, keep in mind that this giant constellation is a holding pen, a picture of the corralled sheep and some future union to be with the shepherd. That the multitudes represents Israel protected by the good shepherd is shown to us by the name of another star, Al-Hamarin, in the Arabic, which means the kids or the lambs. Now, we're going to the little bear constellation in Usher Minor, of the first minor of the constellations, and we're going to talk a little bit about that after that we come back from the break. We're going into the minor, Usa Minor constellation, and it is better known to us today as the bear. Here again, we are going to try to show you the picture of this perfect union between Christ and his seed that will be redeemed and gathered in the holding pen of salvation. Those that have made their way to him have escaped the clutches of the wicked one. And you can see through the series that we have done here, in each consolation, there is an enemy attacking the sheepfold, praise Yahweh, or the sheep or the fish, as whichever instances these consolations depict or paint the picture of Christ, the perfect offering for the deficient price in the consolation of Libra, made perfect now by the anointing of Orion and the consolation of Taurus as he beheads the great lion that is trying to get into the sheepfold. And ladies and gentlemen, Paul, I mention again, says that after my departure, that these evil, evil wolves shall creep in among you, not sparing the flock. And so it is written in the scriptures, there is the giant struggle throughout the constellations of lightness and dark, warring from the foundation down to the very last day of predestined time, when the angel sets one foot on the land and one on the sea and declares that time shall be no longer. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down in the latter part of history where time is winding down. It is slowly ticking away. And we're coming down to the final climactic hour of the great picture of the zodiac as we enter now into the age of Aquarius for another 2,120-year existence here as we go through this wondrous time period of the outpouring. I shudder to think, ladies and gentlemen, what is laid up for them that love and serve him, that the awesomeness of the power and the glory to be revealed in his saints. And, of course, we know that the saints are perfected by persecution. And it looks like to me in the world situation, as we gauge the situation today, that the sheep are getting ready for the slaughter. Praise Yahweh. And as you very well know, if you've ever been to a Passover feast where that we kill the lamb and we slaughter him for our supper, commemorating at the Passover, you know that he opened not his mouth. It is wondrous, glorious, and full of glory and inspiration to know about the consolation. Well, we're down at the bottom of that. We're really coming back for the consolation of Cancer. Stay tuned. We got a lot of information in the second half. Pastor Buddy and Shepherd Scott, we'll be back in two. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We are in the series tonight of the consolation. We're on the 11th of the series of the 12 that we're going to do on this consolation series. And we are in the consolation of Cancer tonight of the crowd. Praise Yahweh. And we are now over into the minor, which is called the Little Bear. And it lays between the pole star of Polaris and Draco out in the constellation. We have this minor constellation here. And again, let me correct the ignorant Greek perversion of the primitive truce that was given out in the primitive Maseroths. No bear ever existed with such a long uplifted tail as shown in the modern atlases or the constellations. No trace of a bear is to be found in Chaldean, Egyptian, Persian, or Indian zodiacs. Possibly, user minor as well as user major came to be called bears because the ancient name of a principal star in user major is a Dubi or a Duba, which is similar to Dob, the word for bear. However, Dubi or Duba does not mean bear, but listen, a collection of domestic animals, particularly the sheep pens or the sheepfolds, and that is the correct rendering of the consolation of what we do know today as Cancer. In Arabic, Duba means cattle. In Hebrew, Dovor is a fold, and Dovi means rest and security. The same word occurs in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, as all thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the Revised Version gives it in the margin, so shall the rest of or security be. Now, if you want to do a search on that, Deuteronomy 33:25, look up then your Strong's and get the true interpretation. So shall the rest or security be. And it's talking about in this consolation where Yahweh is painting a picture of a future time when the sheep, every sheep that is gone out of the fold, must, and I repeat this now, listen to me very close, see how strong my faith is in the ability of he who keepeth us shall not fail, and not one sheep shall be lost. Now, I'm going to repeat that for emphasis in this great consolation. The message is peace and security, and not one lost. Now, listen to the scriptures to give you some backup for that very thought process. Yahweh is not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering. Now, the scriptures indicates also, as the Messiah spoke, he said, all that thou hast given me, I have lost none. Oh, that makes me happy, and it just sends, you know what, waves of of glory and power and praise through my very being. All that ever come before me were thieves and robbers, those that tried to climb up some of a way, but my sheep know my voice. Now when the great shepherd of the heavens, and here he is, ladies and gentlemen, he's painted a beautiful picture for the sheep to gather in to the farthest of the reaching of the consolation of Cancer, where we can be gathered into the fold with days of strength and rest and security. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, there again, come into my holding pen, as it is depicted in the consolation of what we know today as the little bear consolation. Now, one bright star is named Kohab, which means waiting for him who cometh. Sheep that are waiting in the holding pen of life. Other star names and meanings are El Pinkariantun in Arabic, which means the calves or the young, as in Deuteronomy 22:6, the redeemed assembly. Arcus or Arctos, a traveling company, and according to one interpreter, the stronghold of the saved. Oh, I like that one. Praise Yahweh. The stronghold, the holding pens, I have lost none, the good shepherd. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't be called the good shepherd if he had lost any. Remember the parable where he said, the shepherd that leaveth the 99 and go in search of the 100th that had become lost. And Yahweh, his eternal spirit, searching through the hearts of every man, woman, or child that is in his stable of thought predestined, Yahweh will search you out and the truth will come to you in some form or fashion where you can hear, repent, and be saved and gathered into the stronghold of the holding pen of the saved. Now, and the lesser sheepfold, in usual manner, it could well represent the smaller company, the little flock, that Christ mysteriously transfers as the church of the firstborn to heaven, as he did in the first resurrection, when the Bible says, after his resurrection, many of them that slept, this is in Matthew chapter 27, verse 59 through 60, followed him out after his resurrection. This is the bride, if you will, that was taken out of the first resurrection. Now, he's not coming back for a bride, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard a lot of ignorant Christian preachers as they preach, not understanding what they are trying to affirm, that Christ is coming back for the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, in the third chapter of St. John, he came as a bridegroom. He came to get a bride. He got the bride and took her out in the first resurrection. He's coming back for the children born of that union in the second resurrection, and that will be us, the sons and daughters. And therefore, the minor holding pen is the first fruits. Now, the major, user major holding pen, it consists of 87 stars, and this constellation is one of the best known of all the heavenly constellation. It's seven major stars, so well matched in brightness and so conspicuous as a group, are very well known as the Big Dipper. And you all probably have looked up there and you've seen this. This is the handle of the Dipper, where we have three stars, as it is in the tail of this giant holding pin there in the constellation. As in the case of the preceding constellation, the minor, we are dependent upon the ancient star names for the true meaning of the sign. The brightest star in the back is called Dubi, meaning a herd of animals or a flock, and gives its name to the whole constellation. Now, isn't that wonderful? Praise Yahweh. Other star names in the meanings of El Akola, Arabic, the sheepfold, as in Psalms 95:7 and 100 and verse 3. I love 100 verse 3. And if you'll read that, it's talking about the shepherd and the sheep, praise Yahweh. and in the El Tempora, protected or covered, and in the Hebrew, redeemed or ransomed. Ladies and gentlemen, is there so much evidence that the Father has to pour out to your very heart to get you to humble down and to know that there is a superior intelligence behind the universe that created these things and put you down here as a little speck of dust on this very obscure planet, way out in all of the other planets of the universe? Here upon planet Earth is a project or an experiment that Yahweh and the Mighty Ones are conducting, giving you a chance to make your best shot that you might gather into the holding pen. We're talking here now in the major one, and that you could find your way back to him from which you came. It is the folded sheep, and one of the lesser user minor, and that of the greater user major. With this ideal in mind, it's a glance. We will show that the seven stars, the Little Dipper, and in the Little Bear constellation, and the seven stars in the Big Dipper, in the Great Bear answer to the enclosure from which the flocks go forth from the fold at the corner, led by their great shepherd and guardian. All the stars in this constellation testify to the same fact that his sheep are to be gathered in the fold. Now, listen as I again reiterate. I have lost none. Whosoever will, let him come. But in the case of Yahweh's chosen ones, you have no choice. If you are a sheep, you will bear the fruit of a sheep. If you're a good tree, you will bear the fruit of a good tree. If you're an evil tree, you shall bear the fruit of an evil tree. You cannot change fruit unless you mix the two trees. Now, we know that the grafting process, that you can now mix two certain fruits. This is against the teachings of Yahweh. And yet man has gone about altering the genetic food chain, and now we are in the radiating of the food and other processes where the food becomes very poisonous and dead matter to be ingested. Therefore, the cells of the body rebel and give us cancer at an alarming rate, heart trouble, and diseases, as the cells do not have the vitality of the food chain that Yahweh intended to do. Plus the fact that 99% of the people on the earth, now listen to me very closely, this is a good important point, and somebody's listening, this is going to help you. Many are sick and weak because of this very fact. I challenge anybody that's read the scriptures, especially the New Testament, where it is ever recorded where the Messiah, before he ate, that he did not bless the food before he took it into his body. Now, if that is true, then it must be a custom, and it's more than a custom. It is done for a purpose. Remember, back in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said that the earth was cursed because man hearkened to the voice of his wife. Now, what does that mean? It means that everything that comes forth from the earth, whether it looks good, tastes good, or it looks bad and tastes bad, whatever the case, everything that is grown from the earth now has a genetic curse upon it. Only one thing that is ever given clues to releasing this curse of food, and that is prayer. The Bible said all is to be received with prayer and thanksgiving. Most people eat never giving thanks. They don't understand the mechanics of prayer, how the power of prayer unlocks the blessings that is hidden from those who fail to do so. Therefore, Yahweh put a test on those that eat food that do not bless it and those that will bless it. Now, for those that will bless their food and be very observant to do so, it seems to me, and I have really looked at this out of 65 years of my life, I have never been in a hospital. I'm today in pretty decent physical condition, although I don't work out. Most people die of running of heart attacks because they overexert their heart. You would do good to meditate, to slow down your heart rate rather than to speed it up. Now, let me repeat that. bodily exercise profits little. If you can maintain a healthy skin function, eating proper foods, your muscle tone and everything will stay reasonably shaped if you work every once in a while. Our problem is we have forgot to exercise the muscles, especially the heart, which is the greatest muscle in the body, as it pumps blood. It's just a little blood pump, and it pumps literally millions and millions and millions of gallons of blood through your system during a lifetime. Now, it needs oxygen. Learning to breathe. Be conscious of breathing. Now, to learn to breathe, and you say, well, buddy, I breathe, and it's just a habitual habit that I never take a thought of. Well, if you begin to take thought of breathing, slowing your breath rate down and rhythmically breathe in very deep, taking a breath in beyond your conscious habit. You breathe through conscious habit. And of course, you don't breathe any deeper than the habit, because to do so would be to engage energy that would take a deeper oxygen deeper into your lungs. And therefore, you do so, you pump more oxygen into the blood. The blood is charged and oxygenated, and then you get a high or a feeling of peace and security, and that's what gives you a relaxation point. Remember, when your mother carried you into the womb, you came into this world upside down. So you were carried the first 9 months of your life. If you were full term, you were carried upside down in a little water pouch. Now, it's very, very provable that you get more blood and oxygen to the brain standing on your head than you do standing on your feet. So a lot of your time should be spent in a position doing the head or shoulder stand, and I don't even know what in the world I'm on this for. What's this got to do with the consolation of cancer so far out there in space? It's because that when you look up into the heavens and all, it will automatically cause you to take a deep breath and pause to reflect. And in doing so, you will enhance your physical body, and you will bless your own self. So remember to pray over every bite that you eat and breathe deep and relax your body, and Yahweh will bless you and give you eternal blessing. Now, we're going to get to Arago, the ship, here in the constellation, and this is, again, near the Sirius, the brightest star system. You will get Arago, and this is a giant vessel, the ship. Praise Yahweh, and this is the mythical ship of the Almighty Argonauts, of which Homer sang nearly 10 centuries before Christ. So you see the ancients note about this. It is clear that this is a large vessel, as indicated by the immense size of the constellation, as well as the large number of its stars. Its name Argo means company of travelers, a great multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7 and 9. It harmonizes with the star names. The brightest star near the nail of the ship is named Canopus or Cobalus, which means the possession of him that cometh. Other star names are Sephrana, meaning the multitude of abundance, and the possession of Adaska, which is the released and those who travel, and in Arabic, the Dazard, the branch coming forth. Praise Yahweh. Remember, the vessel of Noah was that which was provided to save Noah and his house. And remember, the Bible said when he went in, the door was shut, and the waters came, and all those were destroyed that had not privileges to board. The same thought is expressed in the words of Jeremiah. Therefore fear ye not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar. So sailing in the farthest constellation of Argo comes the multitude of the traveler in the cosmic river of life, comes the old gospel ship, if you will, coming to save you and to return to load you into the vessel of rest and quiet and peace, and none shall make them afraid, for I am with you, saith Yahweh, Jeremiah 30 and verse 10 and 11. In the Dendrarod zodiac, we find Argo pictured as the figure of a great ox, enclosed with the cross suspended from his neck. This word symbolizes a great possession marked with the ancient token of immortality and eternal life. The name of the figure is Shinsenthent, which means rejoicing over the serpent. Oh, I like that. Praise Yahweh. Rejoicing over the serpent. Isn't that wonderful? How, though, having a different picture, it expresses the same spiritual promises, the safe folding of his blood brought flock into a kingdom of everlasting rest. Now, let me give you this final scripture real quick. As Isaiah sings this song in the book of Isaiah, the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The book of Isaiah 25 and 10. And in John the prophetic vision, there shall be no hunger, neither thirst anymore, neither shall be any sunlight on them or any heat, for Yahweh the Lamb shall feed them, and he shall lead them into everlasting living fountains of waters, and God, Yahweh, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 6, 16 through 17, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelations 21 and 4, and the scriptures of the father quoted this one. He said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am now set down with my father in his throne, Revelation 3, 21. So this great consolation, nice, joyful, it speaks of a great holding pen in the cosmic sea where that we have peace and security, and the sheep, all that were ever his, will come to him. Well, I'm Pastor Buddy. I am the Shepherd's Call tonight, and I am asking you, if you are a true sheep, to write me. Call me and say, Pastor Buddy, I need to know more about what it takes to be in the pen of safety and in the ship of Zion. Praise Yahweh. Well, there's a way to get in, ladies and gentlemen, and it's soon coming down to testing time, and you better do it while you have a chance. Praise Yahweh. Your freedom may be restricted here in the next few years, that we do not have these wonderful rights that we have today. You see, we're losing, we're giving ground, we're losing, and we're coming into a one world order. You better be ready. You better be prepared. You better be in the ship that I spoke of. You better be in the holding pen of joy and the consolation of cancer. Praise Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, write me tonight. Simply address your correspondence to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Or you can call me. I'll take your call here tonight as I am back in the studio. Area code 423-626-2172. I'd like to hear from you. If you've called before, it won't hurt you to call again. If you can spare a dime, praise Yahweh. Give Buddy a call. I love to talk to you. Hallelujah. And I love to see how you fare on the cosmic ship of time as you go through the paces of heading home in your life. Praise Yahweh. See, the Bible said it's once appointed unto a man to die, but after that, the judgment, meaning that we will be judged. In Matthew 25:31, the Lamb shall sit on the throne with his holy angels, and we will be gathered there, and there we will be separated in the holding pen of eternity, sheep on the right and the goats on the left. My, my, how time has flown. Pastor Buddy, Yahweh bless you. See you tomorrow night as we wrap up in the great consolation of Leo. Yahweh bless.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.